Feeling stuck in your career, or maybe you're just unsure of your next move? Imagine having a mentor who not only guides you through the complexities of organization, but fast tracks your growth with hard-earned wisdom that you would normally spend years discovering on your own. So my question is this, family, what's holding you back from seeking that guidance today? Do you mind if I share a short story with you? The first time that I got my very first mentor, I was nervous because I didn't know what I should or I shouldn't share. And it was internal, it was inside the organization that I was currently working at that time. But I knew I needed a mentor just as bad as anyone that was surrounded around me. But I wanted to think outside the box. And I went to an executive door, I knocked on it, and I said, hey, we've spoken before because I've helped you in certain situations that you needed with regards to some of your direct reports and the feedback that I got from them. And just us conversating, I realized that you have something special and I would love the opportunity if you would mentor me. And that was my spiel. I may have left out a couple pieces, but it was just, I literally did it. And I have to be honest with you, family, it was very uncomfortable because not only was I going 5 to 6 levels ahead of me and asking for that mentorship, I was also doing it in a way that was unorthodox. I didn't say, hey, can we schedule a meeting to talk about if you would be open to being my mentor? No, I walked right in and I said, hey, if you don't want to do it, no worries. I just thought that I would come and talk to you. And I have to be honest with you, long story short is, the gentleman took me on and he's been, I think it's probably going on 20, 25 years that he has been one of my main mentors besides my other mentor, who was Phil. Shout out to both of those mentors, Byron and Phil, because they poured a lot into me and they're continuing to pour. And now I'm at a state where I'm able to provide value as well. But I look to them, as I shared with you before, I have my counsel and these two sit up high on my counsel that I go through when we talk and troubleshoot things because they've been through it. They have more wisdom in certain areas than I do. So I want to leverage that wisdom. So today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of mentorship. And most people get mentorship wrong. And what I mean by that is they don't take the opportunity to really pick their mentor's brain or pull that wisdom out of them. And so I'm going to unpack that for you today. And we're going to jump right into today's content. Point number one, how to manage imposter syndrome as a PM. Now you're saying, ED, this is about mentorship. How does imposter syndrome come in? See, one thing you have to love, and when you have an exceptional mentor, they're going to challenge you in a way that you're going to start having imposter syndrome. What? Yes. If you have an exceptional mentor, they're going to challenge you in a way that you are going to feel that you have imposter syndrome because they see something in you that right now you haven't realized that's inside of you. See, many PMs face self-doubt, especially in newer challenging roles. Overcoming this starts with recognizing your achievements and embracing continuous learning. Imposter syndrome is real, family. I've experienced it. There are many project managers that have experienced it. So my actionable tip here is to continue to empower yourself by writing down maybe 3 to 5 wins of accomplishments that you achieved that week or the prior week and revisit them when self-doubt arises. Listen, we all go through self-doubt, but it's how we approach the self-doubt that we're experiencing. Some people experience self-doubt and they just say, you know what? I just can't do it. It's not even possible. Then you have others who have exceptional mentorship that show them, yes, you are the one. You have the opportunity to change it, but you have to do the work. Point number two, how to adapt when project priorities change suddenly. As a project manager, you may have a priority that this project that you're leading, let's say you have 2 projects and one of the projects is a high level, it's definitely a priority. And then next thing you may get pulled in by the PMO or even your manager and say, hey, you know what? The customer or the client basically changed their mind. They really want to get this done a month earlier. So when sudden changes require flexibility and adaptability, you have to realign your goals without losing focus. Mm-hmm. I like that. You know why I like that, family, is because in life, just in life in general, when our goals have to change, sometimes we lose focus. Why do we lose focus? Because we keep looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking in the windshield of where we're going. Hey, the goals have changed. The goalpost has shifted. So now we must shift with the goalpost. Here's my actionable tip. Hold a quick team meeting to reassess priorities and communicate the changes transparently, and then adjust the project schedule and your project plan in a collaborative fashion. Point number three, how to handle difficult stakeholders. If you're stepping into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, one of the things you're going to deal with is people consistently, and stakeholders, difficult stakeholders. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because that's not what you came for. But I always like to be transparent, because I want to make sure that if anybody makes this decision to get in project management, that they have a very transparent look at the craft. And so difficult stakeholders can derail a project if not managed effectively. Understanding their motives and addressing their concerns ensures a smoother collaboration. This is why it's important to have that mentor to help guide you in that particular area. Here's my actionable tip. Use active listening techniques during meetings to restate their concerns and show understanding, and then document their expectations to revisit them during follow-ups. Point number four, what are the unspoken rules and cultural nuances as this organization is that I should be aware of? I know that's long-winded. Basically, what I'm saying here, family, is there's a lot of unspoken rules that are in organizations. And then if you're not aware of it, you need to understand the informal norms, the power dynamics, the cultural values. This helps you navigate the organization effectively and efficiently. Here's my actionable tip. Ask your mentor for examples of behaviors that are rewarded or discouraged, and observe interactions to refine your approach. You're constantly refining because the organization continuously to change. Point number five, how to say no without damaging a relationship. Let's just be honest. When you're a project manager, the majority of the time, you feel like you're always saying yes, but that's not the right approach. We have to understand saying no could be necessary to manage unrealistic expectation, but it needs to be done tactfully and professionally so you can maintain the relationships and trust. Just don't say, hey, I don't think it would be done, because you don't have an executive to say, why don't you think it could be done? He was like, we just don't have the resources. Why don't you have the resources? So it'll start that type of conversation. Here's how I would approach it. If I just knew these expectations were unrealistic, I would, first of all, take a positive framing approach, as such as, hey, to achieve, let's say, X priority, we might need to postpone Y. This emphasis, by me doing this, family, it allows me to emphasize alignment with the shared goal. So if you want me to do X, we may either need to postpone Y, we may need to either bring in more resources, but we won't be able to do both at the high level that you want, but we definitely can do one, and we can circle back and as we're closing down the other project, speed up the other project that we were working on even faster. Point number six, how to build credibility quickly with new team. See, building trust and respect with a new team sets the foundation, especially for your project success. So by being able to demonstrate competency, reliability, and openness shows that you are a dependable leader. I always talk about, even though the title says manager, meaning project manager, we are leaders in this field. So here's my actionable tip. Ensure that you're scheduling one-on-one meetings with each team member in the first week to understand their role, their challenges, and also their expectation. See, by using this insight, family, you acknowledge their expertise and you align with their responsibility as well as their strength. Point number seven, how to embrace conflict resolution. One of the things I had to learn when I first got into project management is dealing with conflict. And when I say dealing with conflict, I've had conflict in my life, but I'm saying dealing with conflict on a project that where you have people that are telling you something that can't be done, just like I was explaining earlier, and they haven't even looked at the reasons why it could be done. So they're so busy focused on why it can't be done that we haven't even glanced or even took a peek at how it could be done. As a project manager, you have to understand conflict is inevitable, meaning that if not handled well, this project can go left. You can create a situation where you start creating, instead of having more of a collaborative approach, it would be more of a silo approach. And anyone that's ever led a project in their life knows that if a team goes into more of a silo approach, that project is doomed to fail. There's exceptions to the rule, but every time that has happened to me, the project did horribly, and it took for me to basically work with the team to improve that collaboration. Here's my actionable tip. During disputes, we have to, and I do mean we have to, focus on the shared goals of the project and facilitate discussions to identify solutions without just always assigning blame. How do we resolve this? Not about, oh, he's the one that did it. No. How do we start working on solutions? Point number 8, how to provide feedback that drives improvement. Again, how to provide feedback that drives improvement. Effective feedback is specific, actionable, and it delivers in a way that inspires growth rather than discourages effort. One of the things that frustrates me, and this is why I, again, it's important to have a mentor, is that when your mentor and you have to give them, you have to make them feel comfortable enough that they could be able to give you direct feedback and understand their intentions. Because a lot of times somebody will give you feedback, let's say your mentor gives you feedback and you feel like it's disrespect, or you feel, and again, what am I saying? You feel the feeling, but the mentor, yes, he or she cares about your mentor, about your feelings, but they also care about what's inside of you that they're trying to pull out of you so you can see your greatness. They already see it in you, but they need you to see it so you can execute and take the actionable actions that are required for you to be great and exceptional. So I always recommend that by doing that, now you're learning how to basically give feedback to the team. Here's my actionable tips. Use a situation behavior impact method. What is that? This is basically you describe the situation, you explain the behavior observed, and then you discuss it as it impacts the project. Here's my bonus for you, family. How to handle meeting overload. Let's be honest. When you're in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you will have excessive meeting. And sometimes, okay, let me just keep it all the way 100, as they would say. It can drain your productivity, honestly, but streamlining your approach ensures that meeting can add value rather than creating fatigue. You know, I remember when I first got started and we had a meeting and I was like, oh, this is really loving this thing called project management. And then we had a meeting to discuss the meeting we just had. And I was like, oh, this is just too much. And it just started happening more and more. So I had to figure this out. So I went to my mentor and I was like, why are we having a meeting to discuss the meeting we just had? And they were like, because they haven't found out how to deliver value, because you shouldn't have all of those meetings. You shouldn't have a meeting to discuss the meeting that you just had. So he helped me understand, and I want to share this with you, family. Here's my actionable tip. He said, create a strict agenda for every meeting. Stick to time limits, as well as only invite participants who are directly impacted, as well as can provide value to the conversation. Stop having people join the call that are just sitting there and they're not adding value because it's just taking their time. They could be doing something else. So find a way to make sure that meeting is value packed. Here's my 3 transformational remarks. I'll let you be on your way. First one, how to say no without damaging relationship. Family, when you're leading projects, you're going to have to learn how to say no with class, how to be professional, as well as to be able to do it in a way that shows the reasons why you're not able to do it right now, but you're willing to do this instead to make up for what we can't do right now. Point number 2, what are the unspoken rules and cultural nuances of this organization that you should be aware of? What I'm saying here, family, is more or less of having a mentor helps guide you within the organization, meaning that there may be certain people that if you send an email to and it doesn't have, oh, this is a perfect example. I was just thinking about this. I was working for this organization and anytime I sent an email and it had let's say I had my manager and a couple executives on there, I had to put the executives rank from the highest position to the lowest position on when I was sending out an email. And at first I was like, this was crazy. Like, who? And I didn't know about it until my manager came to me about it. So I leveraged my mentor and I said, this doesn't make sense. Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to put the executives in order based on rank? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. And he unpacked that for me in a way. It's just like, he said, this is just one of those unspoken rules. So as you learn it, you have to adapt and make it happen. So I say that to you, family, getting a mentor helps you understand these unspoken rules as well as cultural nuances. And the last and final one, which I say best for last, is managing imposter syndrome as a PM. One of the things that your mentor should be doing is helping you, guiding you through imposter syndrome. And if you haven't experienced imposter syndrome, then you're not being honest with yourself. If you haven't experienced imposter syndrome, you haven't really sat down and did a real, true look over how you've been leading projects. And if you're new to project management and you finally get that new opportunity to lead projects, you got this new job opportunity, you will have imposter syndrome. But I always recommend, don't let imposter syndrome hold you. I want you to face imposter syndrome head on. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. And again, family, the importance of having mentorship, and you constantly hear me talk about this. And the reason why is because I know how much impact that has impacted my life personally and professionally. And I want you guys to experience the same thing. This is one of the reasons why I am still, and I apologize, working on my mentorship program, because I want to be able to serve you in a way that give you the shortcuts that I've had to learn on my own or even learn through my various mentors. I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.